All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Goobie Podcast. This is episode number 31. We have another interview here. We got Will Geyer on the line, and we're going to be talking about some Instagram smack talk and a lot of bodybuilding and competitor-related things, competing as a couple. We're going to talk about bodybuilding as the pursuit of health and when people break down, what do they do, and all that stuff. So Will's a competitor. Hi, Will. Say hi.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
It's Will Geyer, a previous client of mine. Will is competing in the Pittsburgh Pro tomorrow or the next day. Was it Thursday, Friday? It's Saturday show, right?
Saturday.
Saturday show. So he's competing in the Pittsburgh Pro in Classic Physique. I know Will because he competed in the Elite Physique maybe 2-3 years ago, and I posed him for that.
2019,
so yeah, 2 years. The last time we had normal bodybuilding shows, he competed. And he's going to do hopefully a hell of a lot better this time. He's put some size on, got a little leaner and all that. So the impetus of us being here is, Will, leave the floor. Or do you want me to?
So pretty much kind of like getting into the point of, you know, as bodybuilders, people get into prep, you start losing your sense of thought process. Some people take it a little harder than others. Can be really hard on your mental health. Can be really hard on your relationship. Can be really hard on, you know, whether that's a spouse, girlfriend, you know, just friends in general, or even your family relationships. So, you know, you kind of put yourself first above everyone else, and kind of takes a little bit of a toll on you trying to tell other people no when you got to do your own business.
Bodybuilding is selfish, you know, And the whole crux of this, why I brought Will and nobody else on, I made a post the other day just because it's competition season, it's gearing up again. We didn't really have that last year, so I kind of forgot the impressive amount of bitching that people do online. I made a post, and the post was, and I have it right here. I said, the amount of competitors posting texts between themselves and their friends having to hype each other up to do the hobby they've decided to participate in is incredibly sad. If you hate this, just quit. If you need a lifeline to eat food, work out, do cardio, do something else. And the bottom was about a coach that I worked with in the past. It was so relevant to the point. But basically, I see all these competitors posting, and it's these personal messages back and forth to each other where they're talking about tears and they want to quit and they don't want to do it anymore and all this. And that's kind of the crux of my argument here. If we found somebody in a third world country and we showed them these text messages, you know, after we explained to them what an iPhone is and what Instagram is, we would then explain to them that, yes, somebody pays $300 a month to somebody else to tell them to eat less. And they would be like, wait, why is this happening? And then we'd have to explain to them that that brought them mental anguish. And for me, just looking at it, it's like, wow, you really, to get into bodybuilding prep, you have to avail yourself to it. Like, you really chose to do this. And I think that if somebody chooses to do it and then hates it and then continues to do it, they're either like, fuck it, I already paid this, so they're some sort of sunk cost fallacy, or they're doing it for another reason that is not important. And I think that turns out bad competitors and they should find something else. That's my perspective. And Will has his own perspective, and he was quiet while I talked, so I'm gonna let him give his.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree to an extent. You know, it is, you know, we pick to do this. Like, you know, as a competitor, you're choosing to sacrifice, you know, family time, meals, you know, what you get to eat on a daily basis to get stage lean and ready. And, you know, that's a feat in itself, just that alone. But at the same time, like, you know, I'm with you on the standpoint of it's an every single day. Yeah, it's going to be kind of fucking annoying to listen to someone just go off and off and off every single day, like crying. Because at that point, yeah, I'd agree with you. Like, why are you doing it? If it's every single day of your life, you're miserable and you hate yourself, then what's the point of competing? Because you're obviously not enjoying it. You're not loving it. But from the other standpoint, like maybe you're at that point where it's you're at that mental state deep in your prep and you're having a breakdown and you just don't know what to do and you just need someone to slap you silly and be like, yo, wake the fuck up. You know, because that's going to happen at some point to everyone. There's going to be a point where you're just like, you just mentally lose it. And then, you know, the strong people are going to bring it back. They're going to pull back the reins. Maybe they, you know, fucked up, went off plan. Are they able to, you know, regain the reins, pull back in, get back on the boat, maybe lose a little bit of progress of what they're getting into, but still finish strong and come out on top? Yeah. But if they're just going to continually go down the route of, oh, well, I'm having cookies tonight, 3 days later, I can't do this, so I'm going to go eat freaking Dairy Queen Blizzard and, you know, a large freaking pizza, and then, oh, wait, I gained 20 pounds this week in water load. Like, you know, if it's a one-time thing, you know, there's a big difference. But if you're doing that 2, 3, 4 times a week, you might as well just be in an off season at that point or just not do it in general.
Yeah, I think they should, you know, if it causes you that much misery that you need to reach out to somebody that's not your coach, which is generally what I see. And it's like groups. You know, there's like 4 people in a group and they all hate what they're doing and hype each other up. You know, if we had any other group like that in America, we would either call it med students or people that should fucking quit what they're doing right now. It's at the end of the day, most of the people that are complaining are not about to do this for a professional career. They're not going to be in the, you know, top 10 in the world making crazy sponsorships. They're doing it as a hobby because it's fun to do. And I think they suck all the fun out of it. For me, I didn't like competing that much. It was okay. I did it and I didn't bitch that much, but I didn't like doing it. And I recognized that after a few shows and I stopped doing it. I love it.
That's what you told me is like, you know, you just, your love for being on stage wasn't there anymore. So what was the point?
It never was. I didn't ever like it. I loved I literally loved doing prep. I loved the bodybuilding part of it. That was the best part. But show day was always like so lame. I hated it. It was like, I don't know. It's I was really obsessed with the bodybuilding part, but the exhibition of a physique didn't really do it for me. And so I don't do it anymore. I think people have kind of the opposite, where the pageant day is what they talk about. That, you know, the day is what they talk about. But all the things that lead up to doing it are flexible. You know, they're flexible. You got people cheating their whole prep or, you know, binging a few weeks out, shit like that. It's like, man, you're mentally blown on this one. You should find a different hobby, I think. That's what I think. People, they lock themselves in this box. They're like, oh no, what will my Instagram followers think if I drop out of the show? They'll probably be happy that they don't have to see you bitching anymore. That's probably the most common answer. They'd be like, wow, we were waiting for this, you know?
Yeah, and then on the other flip side of that, you have the people that say they're on track, they're doing everything, but then they're talking about, oh, you're not going to get your waist this small without a waist trainer. You need to use this like ISO burn to melt away your stomach fat, or let's do these hot saunas to drain our water, you know, all these other crazy things that have absolutely nothing to do outside of just follow your diet and do your cardio and you'll be ready for the show. We don't have to be doing all these like extracurricular out of this world like tactics that are gonna do what, 0.01% difference in your body's physique?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other section. A whole other section of idiots. You had some topics that you brought up. We just covered the one. You said, why do you think reaching out for support and posting means someone shouldn't be competing? That's, you know, I think we just kind of covered that. I think that if you need an outside influence to do something that you should internally be motivated to do, it's not for you. It's really not for you. I don't remember a single time where I was like, man, I need to text somebody to do this, or I need to, you know, I was just always like, wow. I'd open that fucking fridge and see like miserable food in there. And I'd be like, you know what? I chose this.
Yep.
It's an active choice. I could be doing literally anything else right now, but I'm choosing to do this. And I was paying somebody to do this for me. So it's like, all right, you know what? I'll keep doing it. And if I ever got to the point I didn't want to, which was after my last show, I stopped doing it. I really stopped doing it. And then
it's a good spin into, like, do you think about that bodybuilding can lead to people developing like eating disorders and why?
Yeah, I think that happens a lot. I think people, the biggest one with competing is they get all this attention, or they think they get all this attention. I don't know. Do people pay more attention to them when they're stage ready? Or maybe it's just because they have something to post about and that's what they think it is. And they're like, wow, I'm getting mad likes right now and I'm lean. And then they finish their show and then all that restriction goes out the window. They spend 5 days doing what the fuck ever. Maybe they did as well as they thought they would. Maybe they didn't. But then it's they're trying to recapture that week, the last 2-3 weeks where they were posting everything and really hype about it and really excited. But I think it all ties back to be internally motivated, not externally motivated. You shouldn't need Instagram likes. You shouldn't need something to post about, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to follow a diet and train. People fall off because, you know, who knows why. They're locked into this mental cage that I need to now, you know, what do they say? Everybody has a word for it. Slingshot or rebound. We need to rebound. And then they go binge eat. It's like, you know, the hungry person that just got done starving for 16 weeks needs to go eat a whole bunch of fucking junk food. Get bigger. It sounds great. Sounds great. Tell me how those fucking ankles look in 48 hours.
It goes back to your earlier episodes where you decided to make a big giant bowl of like chocolate and stuff post-show, eat it, and you're literally sick to your stomach in misery.
Oh, I knew it was a stupid idea, and I did it. And I'm sitting there in the tub, and I'm like, wow, that was dumb. Why did I do this? And I'm thinking like, wow, maybe if I didn't restrict myself for 16 weeks, I wouldn't feel like eating a giant fucking bowl of peanut butter. And you know what? I was right. I haven't done that shit since. It was real strange. Real strange. And that was, you know, my own, I try not to be delusional. That was my own personal recognition of, I don't want this that bad, and I'm not that good at this, and this really isn't for me. And I love bodybuilding. I love going to shows, and I love making other people compete. But for me, it was it's not a goal. It's not something I need to check off. I don't, you know, the word pro card doesn't give me a raging erection like it does some people. I just don't care. Don't care. I love bodybuilding. I love the sport. Not to do it on stage, though.
Yeah, I think the, you know, like my last show that I did in 2019, I think my post-show treats that I had that, you know, was just a straight binge was I actually went to Walmart and bought those frosted oatmeal cookies, like the big giant pack of them.
Let's back it up to where you just said post-show treats. And if you say that, everybody knows what you're talking about. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah. Like, and that's where I was getting into.
Yeah.
You'll
see the shit. And I know that a client is, I'm losing them or that they're not going to do well. If we're a few weeks out, let me cancel this. If we're a few weeks out and all you see is on their Instagram, this, that, and the other with, look at this cookie that has a brownie in it and has an Oreo in it and has fudge all over top of it. Like, you know you're fucked. Because they're thinking about food. They're not thinking about show day. That's all they're thinking about, food.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's their reward.
But the reward should be, I got fucking peeled, I placed as well as I should have, and that was that. You know what I mean? Like, compensating something that is the restriction of food with unrestricted food is a recipe for disaster, I think.
Yeah, it is to a point. It just depends post-show of how bad do they go at it. Like, are they posting it because it's just, you know, that's what they're thinking about, or are they really like post-show about to just eat like two dozen cookies and just, you know, a bowl of chocolate? You know?
In my experience, if they're posting shit online weeks out, they're either gonna fall off and quit, or their post-show nightmare is going to be absolutely really, really real. Yeah, it's gonna be really real.
I can tell you my post-show nightmare is gonna be real. There's no joke about it.
But
it's just
Well, at this point, we're, you know, by the end of this, it's been 35 straight weeks of dieting. So I'm just...
But that doesn't mean...
We had a discussion about it before. Like, I was just, you know, burnt out. And I wouldn't say, like, it's going to be a nightmare, but it's definitely... I'm definitely ready to, like, enjoy, like, normal food again.
Think about it in a different way, though. Let's put it in a different way. Let me give you this. Hi, I'm a very successful investor. I have this crazy investment portfolio. For the past 35 weeks, I've made progressive gains. And tomorrow, I'm going to the fucking strip club, baby. I'm buying a Maserati. I'm getting the fucking yellow gold Rolex. And I'm going to blow it all on depreciable assets. Somebody would look at him and say, you're a fucking retard. Am I allowed to say that on here? You're a fucking idiot. They would say, you're the dumbest motherfucker I've ever met. You wasted all your time investing, all these strategies, all this progress, and to do what? To blow it on something like somebody who just got money for the first time ever. You would tell them being stupid, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in that situation, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go, like, stupid balls to the wall, but, I mean, you know, it's going to be nice to actually be able to go out on a date and actually go enjoy a meal out of a restaurant instead of, you know, just eating chicken and turkey.
But you can do that without binging. You know, you can do that without it being calling it a talk show, anything. It's like, all right, the show's over, real life. It's Saturday night. Do I go out with my girlfriend? Yeah, sure.
Like, I see it as like a post-show binge. Like, if you're a female and you really go on like a post-show binge, you're probably going to put on 15 or 20 pounds if you're just not paying any attention to whatever and you're just literally binge eating. And if you're a guy, you're probably put on like 30 pounds doing the same thing. So like for me, like post-show, like if I'm not going crazy and you're doing things right, for you to put 5 to 10 pounds on over the next like 2 weeks would be just about normal because you're cutting that water, you're cutting, you know, all these other things. So you're going to lose, we'll say, anywhere between 3 to 7 pounds in water weight if you're doing things right going into show to dry out. So to put that back on, plus maybe another 3 to 5 pounds over the next 2 weeks, is just your body normalizing. But if you're gaining, like I said, 25, 30 plus pounds in like 2 weeks post-show, then clearly you just went ball to the wall off the hinge.
Yeah, so maybe don't do that. You know, maybe don't do that. It's just a bad idea. Nobody's ever gotten better from doing that. Just locking you into disorder. I would do it. And I mean, at the end of the day, bodybuilding is a pursuit of health.
You know? Yep.
You had a question on here. You said health benefits of competing specifically, you make healthier food choices. Do you think that's a strong characteristic of the sport? Absolutely not. I think bodybuilding is the opposite of the pursuit of health. I think you've got to talk about the fact that we use literally sketchy chemicals from China that we inject into our glutes, right?
Like, yeah.
Amounts of cardio, restricted eating, training in the gym like you want to die. It's the opposite. You know, if you're interested in the pursuit of health, go for a run, eat your vegetables. If you're interested in getting fucking jacked, bodybuilding is bad, but it shouldn't be conflated. People look at the image of the dude that's ripped on stage. Oh, wow, he must be so healthy. Like, absolutely not. Do you know the pharmacy that went to the lengths to get him to look like that? The man doesn't feel good. He's not very strong right now. And he's not strong compared to him when he's well-fed. It's like a mind fuck. Like, bodybuilding is not healthy. It's not a healthy sport. It's not a health sport. I think a lot of competitors are probably a little healthier than the average bear, but that's because they're not obese.
Yeah. Well, and I think that has, you know, like I was saying, like more specifically, like towards the healthier food choices as, you know, helping for, you know, later in life of developing good eating habits. But, you know, unless you're one of the weak people that falls into, you know, post-show binging or just binging in general because you hate your life because you're doing it, then I think the food choice wise, it's healthier than, you know, 90% of America.
Well, that's a really low bar to meet. You know? like you're just setting it real low right now. I'm healthier than 90% of America. Okay, what does America do? Every single time we have a celebration, we eat. Every single time something bad happens to you, you eat. It's like, damn. low bar. I agree with you in some respect, though, where if people compete or train or whatever in some bodybuilding fashion with food for a long period of time, it really becomes all you know. And then the only choice that you can make. And me and David Fix, when he was visiting last week, actually talked about this, where I still pretty much eat in a very similar, you know, like I cook my beef, I cook my rice. In the morning, my routine is pretty much unchanged because it's so easy to just do that every day because it's what you know. But then there's, you know, the opposite of people that they stop doing it and they want to do anything but that. I can't believe I got to eat these meals every day. I'm like, yeah, if you stop going to work, your job will stop paying you too, you know?
Yep.
It takes some commitment to something for it to stick around. It's for true. Now, you and Ashley, your girlfriend, right?
Yep.
You guys are both competing at the same show together.
Yes, we are.
Now, give me your thoughts on competing as a couple. I recently had a conversation with one of my clients, Sam, about this. Not Sam Adams, not you, Sam. Other Sam. And him and his girlfriend are thinking about competing together, and he was asking me my thoughts. And what about you, Will? You just went through it. You're a few days till. What's the good? What's the bad?
So the good thing is, it's like you really, really, really learn what triggers each other. Because as you know, like the leaner you get, the closer you get to show, you just become miserable. You become irritable. And it's mainly just because you're on such a calorie deficit. Like even right now, I'm just having trouble thinking of like the words to say. Like your whole thought process and everything is just really difficult. So, you know, you might literally just be responding, but when you respond to your partner and you're just tired and irritable, like it could come off as completely being something different than what you were saying. So
what you're describing right now, Will, is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you learning to a point where you figure out that whether or not that you can actually survive as a couple long term. Because if you can get through a prep together with someone, like, I don't think there's anything else in this world and on this planet that you wouldn't be able to get through, because it's hard.
I mean, I disagree. I think it's like, you know, eating chicken and working out and sleeping. It's not that hard. But if people are extremely irritable while they're doing it, maybe they just hate it. You know what I mean? And I think two hungry people together, probably not a good combination. So I've always, if somebody asks me, what do you think? Should me and my fiance compete? Should me and my girlfriend compete? I think no, I don't think you should. I think bodybuilding is a selfish hobby. I think it's like the solo hobby. You do it for yourself, by yourself. I always felt bad for the women I dated when I was doing bodybuilding preps, because it sucks. It's like you're a ghost. You know, you're like the shell of the person that you are, if you're doing it right, because you don't have energy. You know, maybe you're not a total dick. You know, I don't think I was a total dick. Those women may disagree. I don't know, but it's not like you totally turn into somebody different. It's just you're a little less able to do the things that you could do. Like you're not 100%.
And you're like self-absorbed, like in your own thought process of, I have to eat my food. I have to eat at this time. I need to do my workout. I need to do my cardio. I need to do this. And then when you got both of you trying to do the same thing, you know, like, for instance, like I eat 5 meals a day. I actually eat 6 meals a day. So, you know, we go to the gym at the same time every day together, and we do it together so that we can get in, get out, and do our thing. But we're also, you know, she's eating an extra meal, but she gets up before I do. So usually she'll have her breakfast before I'm even awake. So at the end, essence of the day, then really we both have 5 meals by the time I'm awake. So it kind of makes things easier in that essence. Plus, you're there, it's like there's an accountability aspect to it as well. So you're both in prep, so you're like looking at each other and you're like, hey, you know, we got to go to the store. We need to get this. This needs to get cooked. Like, we have to do this. And constant reminders of like, hey, don't forget, you got to get your water. And, you know, little things. So, I mean, it has its perks as well as its downfalls, but the downfalls really aren't even downfalls.
You just described that, and I'm sitting here like, man, that sounds horrible. I could not do that. Having like another starving person in my house the whole time I was doing, that was awful. I just wanted to be alone most of the time, man. I don't ever remember being like, I wish I was accountable for another human being right now. That would be the worst. I wish I had to cook more. You know, just like, damn. No, it's a self. I mean, nobody can disagree that bodybuilding is a selfish hobby. Worry about yourself. I think prep really do fail when couples do them together. I don't think you'll do it as good as you would do it on your own because you're not focused on yourself completely. You got to worry about, you know, do they have their thing? Do they have this? Do I have to remind them of that? Do they go to their thing? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot of like reminding each other to do things for sure. But like I was saying, at the same time, it's like, hey, you know, you get so far in it, you maybe forget something. The other one remembers that, hey, we need this. So make sure that everyone, both each other, have what you need.
But what if your partner was well fed and they can remember even sooner, eh?
Well, I mean, at that point, then it's just even easier.
Yeah, there you go. So you're at the Pittsburgh on Saturday, huh? What class are you in?
I think D.
Of Classic Physique, right?
Yeah.
You get registered and all, or is that tomorrow?
We check in and everything tomorrow between 12 and 3.
Wow. Do you know who's there, or they tell you how many in your class or any of that yet?
No, not yet. It's there's kind of just little small details coming in and in slowly. Like, we just found out, I guess, they're not allowing coaches backstage. So, like, competitors have to wear masks backstage in the pump room. You have to download some app to muscle wear for them to notify you of, like, when it's time to come to, like, the staging area and get pumped up.
Yeah, and I think everybody will survive without their coaches backstage, though.
So, it's just, like, little things. And, like, they said that they're supposed to be – they opened up things in Pittsburgh where it's supposed to be, like, 75% occupancy. But it's soldiers and sailors. They're saying they're only allowed so many people, and it's, at like, only, like, 35% of, like, the building capacity for some stupid reason. So, I don't know. We're just waiting to find out.
How do you feel about it? How do you feel about your fatigue? Do you have any predictions?
No, not really. I mean, I'm leaner than I was the last time I competed. I'm bigger than I was the last time I competed. My posing's 100% better than it was the last time I competed.
That's true.
I mean, in 2 years, I've improved, and you know, I just want to see really, like, hey, get up on stage, showcase what I have, and get the judges' feedback to prepare for next year. And then, I mean, I have a good 20 to 30 pounds of stage weight to put on.
Yeah. You got a long road.
So,
and how did you place last time? Do you remember?
I got an elite physique. I think I had like 3 seconds and a third.
Oh, cool. I don't remember very much of that show. I just remember, I think Austin Stout won the bodybuilding. That's all I remember from that show.
Austin Stout, and then they took pictures and uploaded them online, and he looked terrible on pictures. But if you were there in person, the kid was like literally like you touched him with a pencil and he would have probably bled everywhere.
Yeah, that, I mean, that whole venue has really bad lighting for whatever. I love the venue. It's real pretty, but like the lighting and the photos are just not good. That's at least not the one that you're at. Although that one, when they had the Pittsburgh Pro in 2019, I was there and it wasn't that great either.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thanks for coming on.
And thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. Good luck to your show this weekend. And you can stay on after I end this if you want to bullshit for another couple minutes. But anybody will, he's on Instagram if you want to follow him at Will, what is it?
Will_Geyer225.
Will_Geyer225. You guys know I'm Goob_U, or at Goob_U, and GoobUtraining.com if you want to hire me, and then GoobUtraining.com/FatGamp if you really want to hire me. Have a good day, guys. I'll see you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Goob U podcast. This is episode number 30-something. I stopped doing these because I had this fucking microphone set up and yada, yada, yada. And I realized that I actually just enjoyed doing them way more when I just fucking sat and ate my breakfast and did them on my phone. So guess what? That's what you're getting. I think you can hear me. If you can't, let me know. Actually, you will never let me know, because if you can't hear me, what the fuck are you going to say? So, fuck it. We're doing it. I'm eating my breakfast. I got some eggs. We're talking. I just got back from Teen Collegiate Masters Nationals. I had some people I was working with in the show. Everybody did really well. It was fun. Super long days. I stayed with one of my friends. She works in the tanning thing, so I had to go to the event with her and my client every morning and leave at like... We got there at like 5 a.m., left at 10 p.m. every day, so I got zero sleep. As soon as I got back, I was sick, so it was quite an experience. I made a post, though, today that I wanted to do a podcast on, too, talking about how people always blow it going into their show, like what they do in that last week where they just lose their fucking mind, and there's 5,000 other things, but it's anybody who's coached like maybe 3 people in a show ever in their life could probably agree to all of these. I don't know why this happens, but I've done them. There's nothing wrong. There's no shame in the game. You've done them too, probably, if you've competed. And you'll be like, damn. And maybe you'll be like, damn, I never realized I did that. And this will help you out. But I don't remember the order that I did them in. I'll talk about them in the order that they come to my mind. But the big one for me that never gets talked about, that has come up often in clients and otherwise, and other coaches' clients and just friends and people I've visited at shows, is people don't bring their fucking food to the venue or bring their food to the hotel, or like travel day, you know, you get check-in, you're like, all right, I need you to eat this, this and that. Like, all right, well, hold up, because I got to go to the grocery store first and blah, blah, blah. Man, if you're traveling for a show, you better have everything you need for the next day or two with you when you leave. Airports don't make food illegal. You can't bring fluids, but we're probably not drinking very many anyway, and you can fill that water bottle on the other end. So, unless it's like Ross Flanagan's Gaines Bakery sauce that you're trying to smuggle through TSA, you're probably just fucking fine bringing your chicken, rice, beef, salt shaker, whatever the fuck else it is, avocado, peanut butter, oils, whatever you need. So there's seriously no excuse to not have your shit with you. And that means, you know, I say food, but that means everything. Bring all the supplements that you need. Bring your fucking water bottle. Bring your food scale. Bring your body weight scale if you have a class to make weight. It's no fun at all as a coach to have to play the guessing game of which scale is more accurate, or if you're like, all right, I didn't bring my scale, but I'll go to the classic heavyweight rusty iron gym that has a fucking scale that was put in there in like 1943 that isn't accurate at all, and they make it everybody weigh 10 pounds overweight on the scale so that they're like, oh man, I joined that gym and I got big. Awesome, guy. fucking awesome. Now we're playing guessing games and hopefully you make weight. You know, just stupid little shit like that. Stupid little shit like that. Where, how much extra time does it really take? You're fucking cooking the food anyway at some point. Do you want to land, drive to the grocery store, find out they don't have what the fuck you need, go buy a Foreman grill at Walmart that you're going to return later, sort out a mini fridge, like a million things that can go wrong in all of those links to the equation. And as soon as you hit the ground, that we want to start working. Because say you fly in on a Thursday, that means you got no time at all. Friday and then Saturday morning, you're on stage. Or you fly in even worse on a Friday, then you're fucked. Because you got to worry about check-ins on that day. You got to worry about your tan on that day. And then on top of that, you want to run around and go get your food? Like, no, you're going to be screwed. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that at all. And then on top of that, okay, say you iron all that out and you got everything. Just being on time with the things your coach needs of you. Like, I've had it before where people just don't fucking send updates. They say, hey, eat this meal and get that to me in an hour. Like, you better, this is your shit. This is your ass on stage. 60 minutes pass by. You should be sending photos at 60 minutes. It doesn't mean 60 minutes pass by and, oh, hang on, give me 15 minutes. I'm going to set everything up. Like, no, your ass knew an hour ago what you were supposed to be doing. Get your shit in on time. Don't make your coach chase you down for the photos either. I've had to do that. Where it's like, can I get a look at you? What I always feel when I have to chase you down is you're no longer listening to me. You're doing whatever the fuck you want. You've lost your mind and something else is going on. If that's not the case, then you should be asking, hey, am I doing this right? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Hey, I love the text. Hey, what's my next meal? Right? Hey, what do I need to get ready for? I will answer those to the end of fucking time. I love that shit. But I don't like having radio silence on show day. Like, it makes no sense. I usually will literally just, into the night, wake up as early as I possibly can, or even stay up if it's a weird time zone, just because I want to be 100% readily available for the person. But it always feels like a failure if I'm having to always initiate the conversation. Your coach is your lifeline. You paid them way too much money to just ignore them on that day. So maybe if you gave them the reins for the last 16, 20, 24 weeks, whatever it is, you should maybe a couple more hours. Wouldn't hurt. I don't know. Well, what do I know? And then one of the biggest pitfalls, and this is where people lose clients to this and people lose placements to this, is you get to the venue, you check in, blah, 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 blah. You're in line, start talking to some dude, and you go, oh, what do you think about whatever? Or you think they look pretty good, and so you start asking them what they did for their peak, and then you realize your coach has you doing something different, and I don't know, some guy you follow on Instagram is there too, and you absolutely, at the last fucking hour, you abandon ship. And not only does this happen, but there are tons of bum-ass predatory coaches that'll go to these shows and just kind of pick on people that they perceive to be weaker or insecure. I lost this, it was like the stupidest thing in the world. I had this female client who was going to the show, and she just wanted to lose some weight. She did all right. I mean, she lost probably like 25 pounds. I was not sending her to win this show. She trained for a bikini show. I usually don't do that, but she was very nice lady, you know, definitely listened, worked around her parameters. I was happy to have her go. But as soon as she showed up a Friday, just radio silence, never heard from this woman. Like, texted her a few times, nothing, absolutely nothing, radio silence. And as it turns out, she showed up at the show and she was, you know, definitely a second guesser, like freaking out about everything. And what I'm assuming happened is this coach, some local bum coach, got in her ear. Oh, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And he's working with her. And like, okay. And it's not like she was this, you know, bikini champion where it made sense that somebody was trying to poach her. It was like, dude, you just prey on insecure people and you're a loser. Not, she's not a loser. He's a loser. You know, that type of lame-ass shit. So, yeah, that happens all the time. So when you get to the fucking show, just you talk to people, be friendly, but don't second guess your plans at the last hour. It makes no sense. You've given somebody else the reins for the whole time, and now you're going to ask some stranger's opinion. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They don't know what your coach has you doing. To them, it may sound stupid. I've read protocols, and I would absolutely think that it was the dumbest thing in the world, and it would never work. And you know, it does work. There's some coaches that are super huge names, and the shit they have written down just seems like absolute bananas, and you wouldn't know how to run it, but it's, you know, that's their notes. Maybe there's some things behind the scenes or some things that haven't happened yet. Yeah, we don't give you guys all the information. We don't say, all right, here, we're going to do this, that, and then that. It's play by ear. Some coaches will lay it all out for you like that all at once. I think that's a poor strategy. A lot of the coaches I talk to and know, it's, we want to update every few hours. We want to see you. We want to run the plan as it goes. So if you're telling some fucking schmuck in check-in line, oh, my coach has me doing this and this, and they're like, oh, no, you're fucked. Like, okay, well, maybe you need to wait till the fucking end. You know, read the last chapter there, buddy, before you start changing your plans. Because chances are whatever doofus is going to have you do is absolutely stupid. If they're giving unsolicited advice to a competitor hours before their show, they're either in your class and want you to lose, or they're certifiably fucking stupid. So one or the other, you really just shouldn't listen to them. I would never give unsolicited advice. If anybody, like, you know, people ask, oh, they know you from wherever, or they know of, you know, like they're friends of a friend. Like, hey, can you take a look at me and see what you think? You know, either you look really good or you could be a lot harder, but, like, you know, go do your best. But never, oh, I would change this and do that and, I don't know, shove diuretics up your ass, whatever the fuck it is, you know. I would never give that kind of, even if I thought I knew what I was talking about, even if I thought I knew the right thing, there's no chance I would give unsolicited advice for somebody that wasn't under my training. It's adding too many, what do they say, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Like, what are you going to do at best? You listen half to what I say, half to what other guy says, and then you're fucked. Unless we're the same person and somehow by fluke suggested the same thing. It's just not going to happen. On another note, just be honest about what you do. There's like so many things you can do to just fuck yourself, and we got to be on the same page. And it's fine. You're going to make little mistakes. You're going to lose your mind here and there. It's like, this is a mental game as well as a physical game. It's mentally tough to do this shit. So we expect it. There's a bandwidth built in there for you fucking up a little bit. We'll start things a little earlier, do them a little late, just because we expect a little bit of fuckery to, you know, a little bit of fuckery afoot here and there. And it's fine. But what's not fine is you do it and then you don't say anything. A really good client who did some dumb shit with carbs at, like, kind of almost the last hour. But the good news was I had depleted this guy completely for the last day. And so it wasn't, like, a huge deal. And I kind of did see it coming. And it was okay. He told me that was fine. I could run him a little drier for a few more hours and get it out. Took him training. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I probably wouldn't have done that extra training session had I not. But he told me, so it was fixable. But if you're doing dumb shit, like eating off plan in the last minute, or coach said no carbs, you're doing I don't know, chugging water, somebody backstage gave you a diuretic, you decided to take it, like, say something. Because most of that shit is fixable. But if you're just like, oh, fuck, I fucked up, I don't want to tell coach, like, you are fucked. Yeah, it may work out, but probably not. Because whatever they're doing has, probably, you know, unless you hired a total doofus, which is also possible, but whatever they're doing probably has some methodology behind it. So why don't you just tell them and own it and let them fix it? Because they're, at the end of the day, a coach is a problem solver. You know, they're there to make sure you do what you're supposed to do and solve your issues that come up. So you created a problem, so let them solve it. Yeah, it's normally not how the problems come, but we expect it. Literally anybody who's coached more than 3 or 4 athletes totally understand, totally gets it. Even if you've never coached somebody and you've been in the position that we're describing here, where you were a client of somebody and you worked with somebody, or even if you did it on your own, you know, you fucked up here and there, your first time, second time maybe around. You did something dumb and that's totally fine. It's part of the sport. So, yeah, that's it. It's a thing. It really is a thing. What else has been going on in the fitness world? There was about a week ago, this was so crazy to me. I post shit all the time, and I think about a month ago, I got canceled by all the fat chicks, and that was a pretty popular week for my account. But I have literally never had a post shared more than it was like pretty basic, I guess. There was a guy, Jay Martinez, and a few other people that fell in the hot water about being fucking creeps, basically. And I made this post just about, like, stop being creeps for the love of fucking God. And it got shared like 2,000 fucking times. Like, a good day for me is like, oh, 5 people share my post. Like, 2,000. I was like, is this shit broken? I didn't say anything good, but it was like, hey, just stop being a bunch of fucking losers. But anyway, if you aren't aware of what happened, there's a couple. There were like 2 sides of this. There was like this big legitimate push of all. There was like receipts galore, you know, receipts, but like screenshots and all that. Receipts galore of like this guy Jay Martinez. There was another local Pittsburgh guy, a couple others. I can't even remember what some of the names were. W something fitness. I don't know. There were a bunch of them, but receipts galore of like all these coaches who, if you looked at their roster, they predominantly worked with women, doing really seedy shit, like having their clients check in at their homes and their apartments, naked, going up to their rooms at their shows to, like, I don't know, fucking check them out, making them pose naked, just all sorts of weird shit like that. And it came with like its own set of problems, I guess, where there were all of these like really horrible to listen to stories of these, you know, grown men basically taking advantage of women that put themselves in a vulnerable position to them. You're a coach, like there are other grown men that I coach that, you know, they intentionally put themselves in a position where somebody has full control over what you do as far as diet, exercise, training, sleep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that's how you get better. So the most fucked up part about this whole thing is these are women who put themselves in a vulnerable position and paid for it for the purpose of them wanting to fucking be better, and these fucking jackasses took advantage of that and fucked it all up. It's just, it's fucking disgusting. Like, I that doesn't sit well with me. I am surprised these assholes haven't been beat up, some of them, the very egregious ones. But I'm sure that'll fucking happen at some point. But so there's that, you know, this horrible fucking story, these horrible stories, tons of stories, not just one story, tons of fucking stories. And then the other side, there were these, like, coat-riding, angry women that seemed like they would post these stories, and you'd read it and be like, all right, that guy sounds like an asshole, but there's no sexual harassment, sexual assault, no creepiness here. It just sounds like he's douchebag. And they were lumping other coaches that, I don't know if these guys, you know, maybe they did do something, but it's not that. And I had some people send me these like reels, because I don't know, somehow my post got super shared, so people were sending me stories, and there were tons of stories where I was like, damn, that's fucking, you know, that's fucked up. But there were a few where I was just like reading it, and it's like, all right, you know, and then they'd lead and be like, this guy did this, and it's like, okay, damn, he's an asshole. You know, that's confirmed, but being an asshole is not illegal. And then they'd follow up and be like, but he did way worse stuff. And it's like, no, that's not, you know, like, if there was way worse stuff, you would probably lead with that. And they, I don't know, it just seemed like they were bitter about something or angry about, I don't know, you know, maybe somebody they were in a relationship with and they got out of it. I don't know what's going on. But it seemed to me like they would lead with the bad stuff. You know, that's what all the other women did. They were like, this is exactly what happened. Here's this, here's that. Receipts galore. And then there were some where it was like not the same energy. So I didn't really understand that at all. I didn't understand that. It's like if you got back from your doctor's appointment and you were like, yeah, I got a stubbed toe. And then you're in the conversation with your friend or whoever you're telling, and 15 minutes go by and you're like, and yeah, and I have terminal cancer. Like, you wouldn't, you would lead with the bad one. But, you know, some of these women in the inbox were leading with, like, I don't know, it was, yeah, these guys were douchebags for sure, but not illegal, not predatory, not sexual assaulters. And they were kind of saying it to me because they saw me, I guess, as some sort of mouthpiece for this thing. But I'm not, you know, I think that's a weird power to swing around for some guy just being a dick. You know, I'm a dick sometimes, but doesn't mean cancel somebody and include them in something that has literally fucking vile people in it. Like, some of those stories were just disgusting. And the one guy from, he was from Houston or Texas, Jay Martinez, I think his name was, just all sorts of fucked up stuff, like all sorts. And all the women, you know, it's true because all the women's stories sound exactly the same. He'd invite him over to his apartment. He'd call it his office. And, oh, it's my apartment. And it's like 18, 19, 20-year-old girls, real young girls, and probably their first coach. Oh, I need to measure your body fat. And they said he would, their stories, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but their stories were he would use a fat caliper and ask them to lift their shirt up and touch them and blah, 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 and make comments about their body in a sexual way. Just like, super strange shit. And I don't get it. Like, anytime I've ever coached a woman, it's like, it seems very like it's business, and it's not, you don't want to get into these text conversations or anything like that. Like, I would never want a client of mine to think that I was anything less than interested in just them being there. You know, it's like, I feel like it would be insulting to them to be like, hey, asshole, I pay you $200 a month to hit on me. You know, I'm afraid of that. Like, no, absolutely fucking not. And I guess that's a whole other realm of it where I'm sure there are tons of, there's like a, what do they call it? A catch 22, catch 21. What the fuck is it? 21, 20. I don't care. It's like a catch 22 where I made another post where like, okay, there's a ton of men in the industry that know about all these creeps. We've heard all the stories. You know, we're talking about it right now. As soon as we posted about it, 7,000 fucking stories came out. And so we know that that's a thing. And so a lot of the women that we date, we'll train them too, you know, if we're a trainer or a coach. And the catch 22 is sometimes you're dating a client and sometimes you're dating a girl and then she becomes your client, or sometimes you have a client and then, I've never done it the other way where you're dating, where you have a client and then you start dating them, but that does happen too, and I guess that's, you know, it happens. But then, you know, you get all these stories where, you know, are you just some women, they just seem angry, like some of the stories I read where it's like, you know, I'm totally all ears for and would totally air out the fucking dirty laundry on a dude who did something wrong, but, and I did, you know, I absolutely did, but there were a few stories where it just sounded like it was a relationship that soured, and that kind of upset me, and it's like, damn, I'm glad I've never dated a client, because, you know, who knows what can happen. There's really, I guess my point is, there's really no fucking net benefit to doing anything other than trying to make the women that you coach the best that they can possibly fucking be, and not romantically involving yourself with them. There's no fucking victory, and maybe there is if you get married, but you're probably, I don't know, you know, how, what's the over under on that? Probably real low. I don't see it happening very often. And then you break up, and then it's weird, and then yada 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 yada. I don't know. Anyway, what else do I got going on? Oh, here's news. There's I have a few clients that are competing in this, it's like a transgender bodybuilding show, and it's on October 7th, which if you're in the bodybuilding sphere, that's kind of a misstep, because October 7th is the fucking Olympia. I agreed to go to it because, you know, I love my clients and I'm gonna go support them and all that, but I want to talk to their promoters and be like, hey guys, you need to have a better pulse on bodybuilding, because nobody's gonna, you know, like, if you're a real serious bodybuilder, you're probably fucking at home watching the Olympia instead of competing in a show. So that should be pretty cool. There's a documentary on it called Made Men that Amazon put on a few years ago. My client Cody Harmon actually was in it, in the documentary, and kind of featured. He got second place, I think, all those years ago, maybe 2017, 2018, I don't remember. And it's one of those things where it's like, I think it's such a cool venue and like a cool idea, but it's not executed properly. You know, it's like, damn, you got the wrong date. You know, the Olympia weekend definitely shouldn't have that. And then also, it's like a lot of the people that show up to the show don't show up like super jacked, shredded bodybuilders. And I think it's just not very advertised and not something that's super pushed. And I was talking to my client Cody, and maybe there's some other things that are problematic with it. But I really want to go and sort of show up with some, you know, badass bodybuilders that really show up and have people next year be like, damn, last year it was real fucking difficult, so we better try real hard this year and maybe, you know, push that show. Because that happens. You'll see that in the NPC where it's like, 1 year a show is just deep, and the next year it's just good again and good again and good again, because people know what the fuck is liable to happen there. And then you have some shows that are like the Krispy Kreme Classic, and they never get good until like five really, really savage people blow a class up. So I'd love to do that, because it's super small right now, and I think we all have a lot more in common than we realize, and it'd be a really cool event to go to. And hopefully 5-6 years from now, they're not scheduling it on the Olympia weekend and there's big classes and everybody's jacked and tan and happy. But anyway, my eggs are cold now. I'm going to eat my fucking eggs. I'm going to post this and see you guys around.